Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. We love hearing directly from you, our listeners, and this is your opportunity to come inside and speak directly with us. If you have a question, if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, of course, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and that number is 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. We want to hear from you. Give us a call right now. Again, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's always great to be on air and to talk with our listeners and talk to them about Jesus and
Indeed.
About the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is the message.
Yes.
And we're so involved as far as a church is concerned in methods. What is the best method to reach this particular demographic or that particular demographic? Mm-hmm. And we go to church growth seminars and we learn all these methods, but we forget about the message.
Yeah.
And it's the message that matters. It's the good news that speaks directly to the heart. It's the good news that solves the spiritual problems and concerns that we have. It's mm-hmm. the good news that lifts that guilt and shame and fear off of our shoulders and cleanses us on the inside and empowers us to live in this present world.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about this good news of Jesus Christ over and over and over and over and over again. We talk about all sorts of things over and over and over again. We talk about football endlessly. We talk about sports endlessly. We talk about how to make money endlessly, how to feel better about ourselves endlessly. Why not talk about the gospel? Why not let this gospel really sink in mm-hmm. and really become life for us?
Yeah.
Hear it, believe it, live it. So we're always excited when 3 o'clock comes Central Time because we know we're in this studio talking about Jesus Christ, and hopefully in this conversation, hearts will be opened and people will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And one of the exciting things about the good news, which stands counter to the world system that we live in, is this piece of information. It's found in John 3, verse 17. So all of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that's good news.
Yes.
Well, the next verse kind of parses that out for us and gives us a fuller understanding as to what that means.
It's kind of the forgotten verse.
Yes, it is, as you call it. So let's read this forgotten verse and let's get it back into the conversation. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, why does this stand counter to the world system? Well, because the world is quick to condemn anything and everything.
Yes.
If something bad happens, we're looking for thought leaders who will make a statement of condemnation. And then once they make that statement of condemnation, they feel like they've done their job.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Jesus Christ stands counter to that. Why? Because he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through himself. So that's the good news. So oftentimes, we're asked to make statements about sin and particular sins. And yes, the Bible calls them sins. So if they're sins, then they're acts that flow from a heart in rebellion toward God. That's the real sin, unbelief in Jesus Christ. And that's the root. And so the fruit of it is all of these various sins. Well, the Bible is clear. It calls them sins.
Yeah.
And all of those sins Jesus bore in his body, and he died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. So that is the statement of condemnation. There's no better statement of condemnation than the cross of Jesus Christ, when he who knew no sin became sin for us. So all of that was he bore in his body.
Right.
So what does that do? It releases us. It frees us to speak the good news with confidence, with courage, and authority. What is that good news? That God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through Jesus.
Right.
That's the gospel. That is what this story is all about. Now, everybody out there at some point in life felt the weight of condemnation on their shoulders. They knew something was wrong. Maybe you're listening today and you know something is wrong in your life and you're feeling that weight of condemnation. That guilt is pressing down and you're wondering, what in the world can I do about that? Well, you're afraid to go to God. You're afraid to turn to Jesus because you feel like he may press that down even further, that guilt will be the thing that he talks about. He will condemn you more. But this verse tells you a different story. When Jesus encounters you and comes face to face with you, he's not bringing words of condemnation. He's bringing words of forgiveness, of life, and hope. Why? Because God did not send him into this world to condemn the world. He did not come to condemn you.
Right.
You were already under that weight. He came to release you from that condemnation so that you can experience true life, genuine life, fruitful life, flourishing life through faith in Jesus Christ. So if we're going to be faithful stewards of this gospel message, let's let this verse sink deep within our hearts so that when we encounter people who are feeling the weight of that condemnation, we have the words that will help release them so that they can experience why Jesus came to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great words, Bob. Thank you. And I really appreciate the fact that you've homed in on that particular passage of Scripture, because like I said, I think it is probably one of the most forgotten verses that there is. You know, there's kind of a little funny that goes around that says, Jesus didn't come down to condemn. That's what we're for. So,
and that's what we think.
That's what we
think.
If
Jesus is not condemning, somebody's got to step up and do it. And why not us?
There,
but that's not our role. Why? Because this Jesus lives in us, and we want to carry his message forward, not ours.
Absolutely. 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now. 844-322-2742. Come on inside the studio and speak with Bob Christopher and me right now. If it's about 7 past 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Friends, we hope you'll take advantage of the growing list of resources that we produce to lead you into the fullness of God's love and grace found only in the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Basic Gospel online store, you're going to find books, study guides, CDs, and DVDs, all containing teaching that can aid your understanding of what we have been freely given and the person of Jesus. So you'll find it all under resources at basicgospel.net. Again, resources, basicgospel.net. Just click that store link and all the resources are there right now. We hope you'll take advantage of them.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start with John listening to us in Dallas, Texas on The Word. Hi, John.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Okay. I just have something that maybe you can help clear up. I'm not sure. But recently, a family member just passed away. It was my wife's brother. And we were just at her mother's house recently after the passing, and she was saying that, and she professes to be a Christian, that she spoke with her deceased son, and he spoke to her and was talking to her. And I really felt uneasy, but I didn't want to cause a confrontation, but I don't believe that's correct. I believe as New Testament believers that we should be led by the Holy Spirit, that his Spirit is the one we're listening to. But I don't know where it says it in the New Covenant or the New Testament about believers not trying to speak, as you will, to someone that's deceased. I know it's mentioned in the Old Testament about it. I don't know where it is in the New Testament.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a passage, you know, when Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, there's a passage where he says, you know, if you guys don't believe in resurrection, why are you baptizing for the dead? Why are you doing that for the dead? But I don't know of any place in the New Testament where it really talks about that, and I may be overlooking something. But John, as I'm listening to your question, you know, when somebody dies, when a loved one passes away, there's grief in the human heart. There's pain in the human heart, and we're looking for some sense of comfort. We're looking for some sense of hope during that grieving time. And so often people say, well, I know they're up there in heaven looking down on us, and I know they're going to smile when they see us, you know, our hearts heal and we get back to normal. And, you know, all of those things are statements from a person looking to find some comfort. And I think sometimes people can sense, you know, the presence of, you know, a loved one that has passed. It's just a feeling that they've kind of generated through their thinking and that sort of thing. But it's all in an attempt to gain some comfort and some closure in a situation. And that's where I think as someone who is sensitive and sympathetic and understands, you can point them to the comfort that really comes from God, the truth. So if the person was in Christ, there's great comfort in telling the person who's grieving that, hey, they're with Jesus. It says when they're absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. And so they are in his presence. There's no better place for them to be. So you keep trying to push people to the truth so that truth can comfort them and bring them, you know, a sense of closure as far as the loss is concerned.
Right. And, I really didn't know how to talk about it or try to, you know, I don't want to say confront, but try to correct, if you will, in a gentle way. But
I think the word you need to use is comfort. Right. You want to comfort her. And so if she senses that, then there's this opening for you to give her truth. And that truth can be the comforting agent in her life.
Right. And her sister, because my wife was like, well, I wish he would talk to me. And then her sister would say to her, well, just get in the spirit. And then the first thought was my mind is like, what kind of spirit are you going to get in? Because I do remember he says that you have to test every spirit to make sure it's from God.
Yes. Yes. That is true. And, you know, this is what she's going through is very common. I mean, it is very, very common in this world today. And again, it's common because people are looking for comfort. They're looking for closure. So There's, you know, what researchers call post-bereavement hallucinatory experiences. So they feel like they see or they hear from somebody that has passed on. So that's a common thing. So how do you address that? I think you know that they're looking for comfort, and you point them to the one who can bring the most comfort, and that is Jesus Christ himself. So I would ask her, I would talk to her about, you know, I know we're all looking for comfort. We're all looking for closure. We're all looking for hope. Why don't we look to the Bible and see what the Word of God has to say about where he is now and the great love that God had for him and what God prepared for him once he took his last breath.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
All right. That sounds great.
John, that was just a great question. Thanks for reaching out.
Really?
Good to hear from you.
Let me put you on hold, and let me send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, just for calling in today, okay?
Okay, thanks.
You hold on, John. Thanks for your call.
Once again, Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, can be found in the online store at basicgospel.net. Just click that resources tab in the menu, and you'll find the store and the book and all of our resources. We'll talk about that later. But we had another very, I think, a very encouraging email from Charles in Pawnee, Texas. And Charles says, my six-year-old son and I have been having some interesting discussions about God and Jesus lately. During the drive home one day, he asked if Jesus had a body. I explained to him that although God has no body, Jesus has a body. was and is human and was the only perfect human being who has ever lived. Later, my son asked how our bodies differ from Jesus's body. At the time, all I could say was that Jesus's body is similar to our present bodies, but now is different after his resurrection. His mom explained that Jesus is in heaven, making room for us who believe in his being our Savior to be with him in heaven in new bodies that will not get old or get sick. Since your program airs at about the same time I pick him up from school, could you please describe the difference between our present bodies and Jesus's resurrected body?
Boy, that's a great question, and one that was asked way back when to the Apostle Paul, and that's why he wrote about that in his letter to the Corinthians, in his first letter to the Corinthians, and he wrote about that in the great resurrection chapter, chapter 15. And so the question was, you know, when we come out of the graves, what will our bodies be like? Mm-hmm. And so Paul said, wow, great question. Let me answer it. And yeah. here's what he had to say. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And so he's talking about the body. This body has to go into the grave, into the ground, and then it's going to come out and it's going to be a different type of body. And so there are heavenly bodies, there's earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. So that's one difference between our present bodies that we live in today and the body that Jesus has. So the body that he was given when he was birthed into this world by Mary was a perishable body. Yeah. And when he bore the sins of the world in that body died. And so it was buried, and then it was raised. That body came out of that tomb, and it was raised imperishable. So that body can never die. So think, you know, we all love fruit, and most of us have different kinds of fruit in our household. And so we always have a bunch of bananas, uh-huh. and we have a little banana stand we hang them on, and our little grandson Kai loves bananas. But when you look at that banana, when you first get it from the grocery store, it's yellow and it's bright and it just looks so enticing.
Yes.
And then you leave it there over time, and you see little black spots start to show up on the banana peel, and then over time it just totally rots.
Right.
Well, that's
yeah.
what it means to perish.
Mm-hmm.
It's decaying, and that's what these bodies are like, these bodies that we live in. They decay, but once we get new bodies, it's going to be like that bright yellow banana always, forever.
Yeah.
It's never going
never changing.
It's never going to perish. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. So the dishonor of these bodies is that it's subject to sin and death, that this body is going to die. It's not going to persevere. But this new body is going to share the very glory of God. Boy, that's mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So those are the differences between the bodies that we have and the body that Jesus Christ now has. And our great hope is this, Charles, and that one day we're going to get a body just like Jesus's. So now we're children of God, and we bear the likeness of Christ in this world because Christ lives in us. And one day we're going to have the body that Christ does, mm-hmm. and we will reflect him in all ways.
Absolutely.
That's
Charles,
our great hope.
Absolutely. Charles, I can't think of a better conversation that you can have than talking with your 6-year-old about Jesus.
And let me say this, based on his question, boy, he is really impacting his grandson
Absolutely.
In a very, very positive way.
Actually his son, yeah.
Yeah, and some of the comments that he made there mm-hmm. are just brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant answers to give to a 6-year-old.
Absolutely. Speak to him while that heart is young and tender.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I remember having those conversations with my grandson at about that age, Bobby, and it really took. And he came to know Jesus, and it was real. It was true.
Yes.
So talk to them while they're young, and that's great. Well, thank you, Charles, for reaching out to us. Friends, the basic gospel message needs to keep going, reaching out as far as possible. That's a great way to do it right there. Telling the story, the good news of God's love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus. That's why we do what we do every day on this program, and we can only keep doing it as long as you are faithful in your support by your prayers and your financial support. So your gifts do make a difference, and when you give to support this message, you have a part in every life that is touched. Help us keep going by making your October gift at basicgospel.net. And when you make that gift, we'll send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. That's a great book. The Basic Gospel, your gift from us. Say thanks for your partnership with us. Again, please donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Corey from Red Line, Pennsylvania. My question is, I was saved as a young kid. I don't really remember. I was really young. But now I'm an adult, and I follow Jesus Christ, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm wondering, should I get born again, baptized again? Thank you. I hope I can hear your answer someday or on a podcast. I work night shift. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
I think tonight may be that night.
Yes, it could be. Well, Corey, thanks so much for that question. It kind of reminds me of, when I was around 20, and really starting to get a grasp on what this gospel message was and the reality that I had been made alive together with Christ. So I received Christ when I was at a summer camp between my sixth grade and seventh grade year, so around the age of 13. Boy, I didn't grow much after that. I really struggled with what it meant to be a Christian, really struggled with knowing what it meant or how to live out the Christian life, and finally just raised my hands in frustration and said, Lord, I give up. And then I started going to a Bible study, and I got into Colossians chapter 2, or the teacher did, and it really just revolutionized my life because I saw what the gospel message really was, that he died for my sins so that he could make me alive together with Christ. And that was the missing link for me, this life, this new life that I had in Jesus. And so when that really started to sink in, I had been baptized as a infant, and don't remember that at all, but my parents tell me I was baptized when I was an infant. And so after learning this truth, I decided that I wanted to be baptized, and just to make that public confession and just to celebrate what I knew Christ had done in my life. Now, Corey, that may be your story as well, and you may decide to be baptized just to make a public confession that you are identified with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. So that's one thing. But that's a decision that you can make. You're free to do it or not. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I would say is if you've been born again, you can't be born again.
Yeah.
You've been made alive together with Christ. Now, I'm not sure that if that's the case for you,
yeah.
You say you don't remember being saved as a kid, maybe it's time to take a fresh look at what the gospel is and say, hey, I'm not sure if I've ever really received you, Lord, but today I'm confessing with my mouth that you are Lord. I'm believing in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, so Corey, thank you for reaching out. It's great to hear from you and all of our listeners. And thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have a question that you'd like us to answer, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or send an email to Bob. You can address him at bob@basicgospel.net. Well, once again, our deepest thanks to everyone who helps keep this program on the air and online. And we need your ongoing support to keep the message going. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And as you make your October gift, we're going to send you, as I said earlier, a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. You can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.